Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What episode is this?
33, I guess.
Right. Smashed it. Hello and welcome to episode 33 of The Front Three. My name is Adam Boltwood and joining me as always is the one and only Lawrence McKenna.
The one and only Adam Boltwood.
Thanks. And we're also joined by the stat man himself, Dave O'Brien.
Oh, not the one and only Dave O'Brien. That is
I can't give you both the one and only, can I? I thought you would have been used to this now, 33 episodes in. He's the one and only. You're the stat man supreme. Or something like that. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us, episode 33. As I said, if you want to get in touch with us on Twitter, send us suggestions, send us your questions, all that good stuff. You can find us on Twitter at TheFrontThree. But yeah, let's get into it, I guess. We've got to get into the news, guys, because it's been a momentous...
It's just terrific, guys.
It's been a momentous week, though, Lawrence, has it not?
Yeah.
Euro 2016, the playoffs happened. We now know who is going to be at the tournament next summer in France. One team of which will be Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He's going, Lawrence.
Yes. Yeah, Zlatan.
There's no one else in that team.
He's actually competing alone. He's going to replicate himself 11 more times, and he's just going to partner up with other Swedish legends.
He's also did you hear his quote? He said he's
they want to meet to retire. But I just put a whole load of them into retirement or some shit like that.
He said, with the idea that this was supposed to be my retirement, I've pushed their whole country into retirement.
Yeah, good guy.
The whole of Denmark is now in retirement. Yes, yeah, Sweden are going to be there. They knock out Denmark. Also, Ireland, Dave, did you manage to catch any of that game?
Unfortunately, I didn't, but I did see Jonathan Walters score twice.
Jonathan Walters, the absolute Ireland legend. Hey?
The good part of that, though, have you seen the bit in the pub where it's, I think it's Shane Long and Robbie Keane are riffing away, singing songs? It's absolutely cracking viewing. We'll have to put the link in the description.
Please do. It's a bit of a... Is that a real achievement for Ireland, or do you think? Because they were in a tough group with Germany, Poland, Scotland.
I think qualifying in the first place is a bit of an achievement, isn't it? For any team, obviously apart from England, everyone says there's no achievement in what happens with England. But I think with Ireland, especially, like you say, from that group, it was hit and miss as to whether they were going to get the right number of points. Essentially, it was out of their hands for a little while, and then Scotland sort of tripped, which allowed them through. And then they had a difficult game again, a game which you'd say, you know, on paper, Bosnia should be winning.
They've got some good players, haven't they?
Well, the fact is that Bosnia has some...
Pjanic.
Exactly. Players that... Maybe, again, like I said on paper, look better than the overall Ireland team. But that's the point with Ireland, is that now, even though they at times they're flattered to deceive in the group stages, now we're seeing them come through and essentially come together at the right time, which is also a skill of management, I guess, is getting your team to peak at the right moment. I love having... when I went to Euro 2012, it was fantastic to have Ireland fans there. They really bring something else to the tournament, which is almost by the by. You don't really need to say that, but it does. It is worth pointing out to people who haven't been at a tournament with Ireland fans before. Fantastic fans, really good time, and good for partying, etc., etc.
I think it'd be great to have them there. Welsh fans as well, Northern Irish as well, but not the Scottish.
It's a shame that it's Britain and Ireland. Yeah, it's a shame that it's Ireland instead of Scotland. It would be great if it was both.
Yeah, but...
If ever there was a way to overstate the success of a region at any one time, it would be for all five teams to qualify.
apparently there's a 50-50 chance England will draw either Wales, Republic of Ireland or Northern Ireland in the group stages. So they're right. They're going to be in pot four. So we could have one of those teams in our group, which I think is going to, that's pretty exciting. I think
that's one easy win at the tournament, lads.
Well,
that's it.
I don't think I'd want to come up against Wales.
England are going to come second. They're going to come third in the group, and Wales are going to come second. It's sort of written in the stars, isn't it? The sort of doom of English football. Ready to go.
It's England, of course, already qualified. They did have a friendly against France last night. Well, what would be Tuesday night. A bit of a somber occasion, but still, England came away with the win, 2-0. And everyone's talking about this young lad by the name of Dele Alli, Dave. When's he off to Real Madrid? That's what I want to know.
Well, you'd hope he's staying at Spurs for a few more seasons. I think he's got to develop while he's still 19. But he showed great sort of youthfulness yesterday, exuberance in the pressing, harrying. You know, took his goal very well. A pretty big deflection in my eyes, but you know, it was a decent strike from outside the area. What I loved about Dele Alli's performance was how he nicked the ball off Pogba in the second goal. It was sort of ignored how. You know, everyone saw Pogba's performance last night, that wonderful back heel to Anthony Martial. But Pogba cost France one of their goals. You know, Dele Alli closing down, nicked the ball. England were at France's back four, you know, Raheem Sterling, Rooney and Harry Kane. It's one of those things that Pogba is so mercurial. He's so hot and cold at the moment. And we really need to give this guy time, because if he's sort of, you know, people are quoting how he's worth £80 million. He's nowhere near valued that much at the moment. He's so, so hot and cold. It's just, I think he's getting too much pressure on his back because he has played at Manchester United and now he's at Juventus. And you've seen Juventus struggle this season in Serie A. And I feel that Pogba's the one that should have carried them and he hasn't done. So he's got some time that he needs to develop. And I feel that Dele Alli absolutely did him, absolutely schooled him.
Well, Ben Briggs tweeted in to say, is Alli better than Pogba? In my opinion, he is so much better. But I'm a Spurs fan. Hashtag biased. He's probably got a way to go to be better than Paul Pogba, Lawrence. I mean, he's been very impressive this season, but I mean, we're talking about one of the, as Dave says there, maybe not worth 80 million, but one of the best young players in the world.
Well, we are talking also about people at different peaks in where their development is. I mean, Pogba's had a lot more first-team football. He's played at, you'd argue, a higher level for longer. So there's no reason why he can't develop into a player of the ilk of Pogba. But then I wonder why, almost why you would... I wonder why you would want to just make a cut out and then say, right, let's fit him into that. I think, you know, Spurs have clearly got an idea of what kind of player they want him to be. I think Pochettino's very much a visionary in that sense. He's good at getting the best out of players where other managers maybe see a very basic outline. I think he's going to see more complex assets to his game. And I think that's he's under the right manager of them, if that's a... If it's possible to say.
We also had Pizball tweeting in to say, is Dele Alli the best thing since sliced bread? So I have to disagree with him. Dave, talk to me about Wayne Rooney.
No, it isn't.
Dave, talk to me about Wayne Rooney's performance, because people were saying that was his best performance all season.
Yeah, but that is saying absolutely nothing. Wayne Rooney has been awful this year. Given he did play half decent against France, but it's still not the Wayne Rooney that half decent, yeah, I'd say half decent. You know, there's a number of what really annoyed me about his performance was how he was sort of playing number 10 at periods in the game. There were moments where John Stones was bringing the ball out of defence brilliantly, you know, excellent, taking on players. One moment, I think he beat three players, dribbled the ball over the halfway line, and then there's no one there ready to receive the ball off him. And for me, that's where your number 10 has got to be there. Your number 10 has got to be turned, got to be looking for the ball, looking for the passing to feet to then turn and then, you know, get at the back four. But it just frustrated me. At that movement where Stones came out the back, he dribbled the ball out of defence, beat three players, Wayne Rooney was actually behind him covering his position. I don't want Wayne Rooney to be there. I want Wayne Rooney to be in the attacking third. It just, for me at the moment with Wayne Rooney, it seems all wrong. And I think that he will have to leave Man United to continue his career at the top level, because it's just not working for him now under Van Gaal and at Manchester United. He's just not performing at his great height.
Well, speaking of Manchester United and strikers number 10, all this, Anthony Martial was obviously injured in the friendly, Dave. We don't know how long he's going to be out for, though, do we? It's a foot injury.
No, for me, it looked like a... You know how, you know, we've seen David Beckham, we've seen Wayne Rooney.
Don't say that word, Dave. Do not
say
that word.
I'm going to say it. It looks like he's done his metatarsal. Looks like a tackle.
Metatarsal, Dave.
Exactly, mate. That's the thing, isn't it, Lawrence? It looks like he's he got into a tackle where your metatarsal sort of exposed in a way, and he got up in a way where, that you've seen players before that have done that injury. They get up a bit gingerly, and they don't quite, you know, it's a big impact injury. You know, he's come out of the dressing room on crutches, so it's a massive worry for Manchester United, considering how poor their forward line has been without Martial in the team.
Well, how do they play with him missing them? Do they need to shift Rooney back up front? Or I imagine it's going to be an unpopular opinion.
Got to get Memphis Depay back in the team. If you've not got Martial, you know, you need to have that creativity from somewhere, that ability, the cockiness. I hope that it's time for Memphis. I've done a number of interviews recently that saying that it's been difficult to adjust to Manchester United and so forth, bigger club and that, you know, which is accepted. Going from the Eredivisie to the Premier League is huge. Luis Suarez took a number of years to properly hit top form. And I think there's questions about what he's been eating and so forth. Now he's got his own chef at home. So I think it is time right now, if Martial is out injured, it's time for Memphis Depay to really kick on for Manchester United and take that sort of attacking berth away from Tony.
Lawrence, what did you make of the...
I mean, Jesus.
I know, that's pretty embarrassing, isn't it, to be honest?
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, players grow up in a bubble, but a chef is probably a good... you know, well, obviously we mock, he's got enough money to have a chef credit, but, I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's
got a chef, mate.
You're not impressed with that, Lawrence?
I wasn't impressed with John Joe Shelby's chef. He's clearly not feeding him the right things.
He's paying him well for that job. His personal assistant.
The point would also be, you know, it's not just about getting a chef. It's about eating right from that chef and then doing the right things with that food in your body. So,
yeah. Indeed.
How do you reckon the main chef's doing right now?
His personal assistant?
He's still in the job?
I think he abandoned that, didn't he?
I don't know if he abandoned it. I think he just went private with it, Adam, as opposed to...
yeah, posted it everywhere.
His chef's also developing that new app whilst mowing the lawn.
Jermaine Defoe.
All the apps must be on the horizon, you know. All the business plans, all this.
Jermaine Defoe, the app, the man, the myth, the app. Jermaine Defoe. Get inside Jermaine Defoe. Be Jermaine Defoe.
Other news this week, Lawrence. Talk to me a little bit about Arsene Wenger, because he said a few choice words about doping. This whole doping scandal that arose last week.
It's arisen for a while. He's had some choice words, in inverted commas, for quite some time now, and has been very open about the way that he thinks some other team... He's obviously often alluded to the fact that other teams he thinks have clearly done things which would be considered to be below the line of legality in football. Never really said explicitly what he thought that was, although we all know... about what goes on in other sports, about we also know what's legal and what's illegal. I also actually, no, you know what? Maybe we don't know what's legal and illegal. I think that's the problem, is that maybe some people, I mean, you know, you or I or someone who watches the game every day doesn't know what the laws are to do with that. Essentially, that doesn't really matter. What we want to know is that people are competing on a fair level. And I think at time he's alluded to the fact that other people are not competing on that level. And I think within the Premier League, you know, he's made it very clear where he sits and where he thinks other Premier League teams sit. He's made it very clear he thinks other Premier League teams have used doping. And, you know, there's really good points made in different articles throughout the week that football cannot ignore this, because there are other sports that are riddled with it. Cycling has been for some time. To some extent, gymnastics down the years has had, and, you know, Olympic sports have had their problems. But sport in general will always have problems with people cheating. It will not always have a problem with people doping, if the culture is the right way around. And essentially, I think what he's saying is, you know, it doesn't level the playing field.
But he's saying the current system, the checks in place at the moment are inadequate, and he wants blood tests and all this sort of stuff to come in.
Yeah.
I mean...
I think we should talk about it. I think we should be very loud about it. And it's as important as being outraged about, you know, someone taking money as bribes to the World Cup. All those kind of things, because it fundamentally changes the way that the game's played. I mean, you and I both know, you know, you can get puffed out on the pitch just playing five-a-side football.
Not me, mate.
I know that's because you're busy, so busy going through everyone. But the point would be that with that, there needs to be a level playing field. And there just isn't in between some clubs. And, you know, journalists allude to it, other people allude to it. It's covered up because it makes a lot of people a lot of money. And at the same time, I think the Premier League has the biggest problem because a huge amount of its marketability is it's built on the idea that it's clean and that, you know, you can bet on it because it's clean.
I think there's a reluctance almost for the Premier League to look into it because they know or suspect or maybe see, as Wenger's alluding to, that there is something going on and football has enough problems as it is with, you know, credibility, as you say, and this, you know, the dodgy financial situation at FIFA and everything. If I don't want to, you know, make broad accusations like that, but do you think that might be part of it? Why is football not trying to deal with this problem?
Because football's in a good moment right now, and some in terms of the Premier League at least, and some people don't want to burst that. Or not even some people don't want to, but you can essentially compare it to the Lance Armstrong situation. People get into a certain bubble, they get into a certain group of people, and then the social pressure causes them not to speak out about things or causes them to overlook certain things because it's just easier that way. Not even just easier, like we can't, I'm speaking in the wrong way about it because, it, you know, we get into social tropes. What I'm saying is when people hang out in groups, there's influence that happens outside of vocal things. There are, you know, there's hidden things that happen underneath that. I don't even know if they're deliberately hidden. I just think it happens through the way that culture perpetuates itself. And that's what happens within football, because football is ultimately a bureaucracy and a system as well.
Elsewhere in the news this week, did anyone see the amazing story of how Mattia Flamini is going to save the world? Hear this one?
Yes, I love this story.
So it sort of came out towards the end of last week that he spent the last 7 years having set up a company called GF Biomedical. So apparently it's the first company in the world to mass produce levulinic acid.
Oh, yeah.
That old thing.
Can I just say, this week in football is the best week for people in football speaking about things that they do not know about. Terrorism. Yeah, I'll have a chat about that.
Oh, yeah.
Acid. Yeah, I'll have a chat about that.
Mate, Mattia Flamini knows a lot about acid. Break.
Brilliant.
It's apparently a substance that can replace oil in all of its forms. And it may according
acid burns, how can it replace oil?
I mean, I don't know a lot about it, Lawrence. Flamini does.
But yeah, I think he's imagine if it just turns out to be a pyramid scheme.
Oh, God dang.
How gutted is he going to be? 20 billion.
He believes the company is worth 20 billion, yes.
That's incorrect. He believes the industry will be worth 20 billion.
Yeah, you see, that's the problem with reporting from The Sun, isn't it, Dave? Are you telling me
The Sun has twisted it?
The Sun is talking shit.
The biggest problem is it's called The Sun. And, you know, we all love The Sun. The people have written about The Sun coming and things like that. And we all hate the newspaper The Sun. I wish the newspaper The Sun was a good newspaper because it's a great name for a newspaper. Mm. But essentially, it's a shit place. but full of nice people. And that's the problem. I don't know where these horrible stories come from. Because whenever you meet a journalist from The Sun, some of them are dickheads, but some of them are also really nice people. Outside of that, Adam, the biggest problem would be if this was reported in the Financial Times or in a place where we actually, like, you know, The Economist had written a piece, and we might be like, I know those are also big institutions which probably have their own problems, but then it would have a little bit more pull. The fact that he had to go to The Sun to talk about it says something about the story. Either way, he's going to make a lot of money. You know, it doesn't matter if it's worth a billion or 20 billion.
I enjoyed the story.
It's a good story. Credit to him. You know, he's got a degree, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has he?
I think he has. I think he was talking about that. And he's obviously working with other people. You know, he apparently employs a factory of 400 in Italy.
He's apparently got a legal degree, potentially.
Yeah, well, it's good what you can read in Wikipedia, Adam. But with him, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think a lot of other footballers also, like Robbie Fowler's famously got a property business. Jermaine Defoe is obviously a big business. Gary, what does Gary Neville do?
So he does eco-friendly houses. He built the one in Bury in North Manchester that looks like the Teletubbies house. It's like under half underground. Wow.
Gary Neville. Oh, lovely. Does it have Neville custard and things in it?
It does, yeah.
Another
speaking of Neville's, I was at the David Beckham game at the weekend.
Oh, were you now? How was that?
It was really good. Yeah? We were in the David Beckham camp, essentially. I don't know how much I can talk about. Basically, David Beckham's very nice guy, nicest guy on the planet. He played something like...
Did you meet him?
Yes.
Did you shake his hand?
I shook David Beckham.
Did you gaze into those beautiful, beautiful eyes?
I did. There was a rule, no selfies, which was so difficult not to adhere to.
Really? No selfies?
Yeah.
An unspoken rule.
Or
a literal.
A literal rule, yeah. But it was lovely. Some great moments, him going off for his own son, him then coming back on, passing to his own son. Just imagine what that must feel like for him. Like, it's gone full circle. There must have been just this real father moment that was just like, oh my God, I'm coming off the pitch at Old Trafford for my own son.
But I
went to Old Trafford for the first time, and it is a great stadium, and the fans were fantastic.
Oh, was it full house or...?
It was almost a rainy day, relatively full house. Really, it was fantastic. Great, great atmosphere. Really good. It was good to see Adam McCullough there as well, of Full Time Devils.
Yeah, more so than say Ronaldinho or anyone like.
And Ronaldinho, ilk. Ronaldinho apparently out until 9 a.m. partying. Apparently,
really.
Yeah, they rolled in at about 1:15 on the coach, so I don't know. He was smiling the whole day, though, so good credit to him.
Loving life, that boy. Loving
life. Have either of you ever seen Ronaldinho live?
No, God, no.
Dave?
Was he the next level?
It must have been, it was a great way to what, I mean, I don't know if you've seen it on TV, you've seen highlights. They probably don't do it justice because most of them are vines. We captured Ronaldinho doing that little flick between the official's legs, the ball at halftime is coming up. That's what everyone's seen. We got that on our social media network with David. And what is great is at Old Trafford, all the lights are on, it's pouring rain. And he's moving like Ronaldinho moves, like no other footballer moves. And he's going around people. He's doing those 90-degree kind of jabs at the ball that he does, which takes him past people. Sol Campbell fouls him and he doesn't get a penalty and he just sits there and laughs. He's just having a good time. He tries to chip David Seaman. It was fantastic. Like, he's amazing to watch. And you just think, imagine him in full flow at Barcelona. You watch it on TV and it's one thing. You watch him score that toe-poke goal against Chelsea. It's incredible.
Ooh, yeah.
When you see him live, I think... you realise what people are talking about.
It's a shame his peak was maybe too short.
Although maybe that's what makes people so nostalgic about him, is the short peak.
He was so good for,
But he's still so good now. He probably could still do a job in the
He's free agent, is he not? Is he a free agent?
I think he's actually in Mexico now. But you
thought he left that club.
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to speak to him.
Okay.
You basically just sit him just behind the striker in a game. Literally, don't move, Ronald. And just we'll pass you the ball. You do whatever you need to. I imagine it'll work. He's going to win you 40 points a season in the Premier League. Put it that way.
Yeah, I think that with Ronaldinho, it's just his ability. I think that is the reason why he didn't last at the top for so long was his fitness issues. There's big reports about how when Ten Cart had left Barcelona to become Ajax manager, he was the assistant manager to Frank Rijkaard. The discipline went in the dressing room and Ronaldinho just did not look after himself. And ultimately, that's why he left Barcelona, because he fell out with the president because he wasn't coming to training on time. He was claiming all these injuries and so forth. But Lawrence is saying that he's an excellent player in full flow. He's absolutely brilliant. I went to the San Siro to watch Man United, and Ronaldinho was playing for AC Milan at that time. The first 20 minutes, he was absolutely unplayable. He was so good. He was just destroying Man United's right-hand side, playing left wing. And then he just disappeared in the game, and he just left, and he couldn't really be bothered when United started harrying and pressing. So he's a mercurial player again, but then in his prime, he was just unbelievable.
Incredible.
Yeah. Other news this week. We have the story of the Arsenal fans who are trying to crowdfund a project to pay Lionel Messi's wages. He's reported 600 grand a week wages he was demanding to come to Arsenal, because that story is definitely true.
True, yeah. I mean, it's not based on the fact that he said, if someone said to him, if you could play for anyone in the Premier League, who would you play for? And he sort of went, well, if I had to play for anyone.
It would be Arsenal.
Yeah, it would be Breaking Arsenal. News. And they went, wait a minute. You want to play for Arsenal? And he was like, no. And they were like, we've already bought you.
That was just one of those weird. There's every now and then it's just a transfer story that makes no sense and comes from nowhere.
Yeah.
Why would he want to leave Barcelona? I know there's all this tax situation, but surely why would he want to? Come on, Barcelona to Arsenal.
The challenge? Maybe when he speaks to Ronaldo, Ronaldo says to him, "You didn't do it in the Premier League, mate."
Mugs him right off. You can't do it at Stoke.
Yeah. The report was in the Daily Star. It said Messi wants to move to London and Arsenal, whose preferred destination, but his eye-watering £600,000 a week wages could price him out of any deal. What a shock.
Although Arsenal are very good at budgeting, so maybe they would have it in their budget.
Anyway, hopefully the Arsenal fans are going to get there. They're going to be able to crowdfund it anyway, so they won't have to, you know. Arsenal
I love a good joke of a crowdfund. You know, it's not like there are other good causes out there that need real money.
No. This definitely needs real money. Other news. Apparently Chelsea, right, are going to sign... If I said Chelsea are going to sign a Dutch midfielder, who would you guess I'm suggesting they might be? Yeah. Well, Dave, who do you reckon they're going to go for in January?
Nigel de Jong?
Oh, no, mate. They're going for Wesley Sneijder, mate.
Wow.
That's what they need right now. Chelsea are apparently ready to sign Galatasaray's Dutch midfielder Wesley Sneijder, 31, in January by paying his release clause.
He's perfect for them, isn't he?
Dave, what do you reckon? Is he the man they need right now?
I think they need a lot, really. They probably need a new manager more than they need Wesley Sneijder. Wesley Sneijder's still decent in a Turkish league this season. Played 10 games, 3 goals, 4 assists.
Are you doing that off the top of your head now? Or are you reading that somewhere? Job.
It's off the top of my head, Adam. You know, these are the things
impressive.
I do for my life, Adam. I just...
Part of your brain is just taken up by these stats. How many goals Wesley Sneijder has this season?
It's a joke. You know, I've lost the emotional side of my being.
All right. Dave's one of the few people that actually still use a Google Glass. And whenever a football player's name is said, he just visually searches it. I am Dave. Dave Compute.
Isaac Lawrence. I'm a robot.
Here's an interesting bit of news here coming out not too long ago as we're recording. The Portuguese and Spanish leagues. Oh, you see this?
Yeah. I saw this.
Have apparently had a meeting to discuss the creation of an Iberian league.
That'd be a so joint sick.
League together.
Yeah.
That's what joint means, Lawrence. What do you, I mean, is that?
Is that?
Is that going to happen?
What does that mean? Like, how would they feel?
Porto. In with Barcelona, in with Real Madrid.
Yeah, good luck with that, Porto.
Benfica, Sporting Lisbon.
I mean.
Yeah. What happens with the coefficient? What happens with all those things?
Lawrence, they deal with that later. They get the league sorted and then they'll sort the problems out later on.
Safety in numbers, I guess, right? Yeah.
I mean, this is the whole... This is reminds me of the whole, Catalonia situation with Barcelona. Because, they're trying to get independence right now.
Yeah.
From Spain. What happens then to Barcelona? Barcelona are not going to be in this Iberian League, I assume. If, Catalonia does get independence, they're separate apart from that. Because they'll be playing in their own league with who's Barca's local rivals?
Bilbao.
Yeah.
Espanyol,
that's it, yeah. Are they just going to be in their own league together? And then, Portugal and Spain?
I think the Italian league wanted to take them, similar to Monaco, because Monaco were complaining last year about how, because obviously Monaco, they've got their own tax legislation. So if you play for Monaco, you pay like pretty much no tax if you're a player. Like, if you are like Condogbia, you're absolutely raking it in. So the French league wanted to apply the same taxation laws to Monaco as a football club. And what Monaco said was, well, we'll just move to Serie A then. It's going to be like that.
Well, they went.
Tax laws, wasn't it?
So apparently it could all work out just peachy because it was the Portuguese and Spanish bosses meeting to discuss this Iberian league, which would include Barcelona. That would Iberian, it would span the separatist nation of Catalonia or whatever happens there. So it could happen, you know. You might get to see Elche v. Guimarães on a regular basis. I mean, that would be quite something, wouldn't it, Lawrence?
It certainly would be something. I don't know what it would be. But then, do Morocco reach out to them and sort of go, we're in on this?
Well, lads, if you're doing it, we're doing it.
Yeah. Did Gibraltar reach out?
And then the Great British League comes in, Lawrence. That's where Gibraltar comes in. Gibraltar can come and join the great British Premier League.
Imagine that away day, Carlisle. Brawler. The Carlisle players would just be on the absolute round. Lash.
But you do, you really are on the lash when you go to Gibraltar. You do sort of think, though, what does that lead to? You know, when, you know, can countries then just reach out to each other and say, we want to film, do a fused league? Does it, you know, if it really benefits them?
I can see this European Super League happening at some point.
They just slowly move it. They go to
10,
France,
20
go,
years.
Look, your league's shit too. Do you want to come into our league?
PSG, I think it's going to happen because you look at the French league now, PSG are miles ahead. You know, even in Germany, you've got Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich. I think these teams are going to start to, next 10, 20 years, you're going to see all of them in a league together. Forget the Champions League knockout rounds. It's going to be a league.
I think it would be, like Dave says, you kind of hope not, but you also, like, your math just waters.
It's inevitable, isn't it?
Yeah, but imagine that, the travel for the fans, you know, would that be supplemented by the clubs because they've chosen to essentially change what football is for so many people, you know, week in, week out. Some people enjoy just going to, some people don't even have passports. You know, some people enjoy going to, you know, Sheffield and Manchester and Hartlepool and, you know, Bournemouth and Torquay and all these kind of places. You know, does it change? What does that mean for the FA Cup? Would it, you know, if you're a shit country, you know, like Portugal, then sure. No, I'm kidding. But if say your league isn't making the money that you wanted to, do you just say, well, we want to fuse with you guys? But that's going to mean a complete lifestyle change for all these people. And so often that's the case. It's all measured on what can we do to expand this as a project. But actually, progress isn't that linear, is it? Maybe progress would be making things more local and taking on more people's feelings into account than managing to wipe out more people and putting them into wider groups.
I mean, it's an interesting...
Whatever the fuck that means.
It's an interesting discussion. Dave, have you got up to that point on Football Manager yet? Have you been playing Football Manager? Are you up to the European League bit yet? Does that not happen in that game?
It's not yet. We're 2000.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
2030? Still not got the European Super League, but it could happen.
You're way off.
Could bring the Super League up.
You dressed in Jozim, is it?
Ah, they're the boys, aren't they? The lads. You know, I've been there a while. Club legend.
What is the obsession with Football Manager?
You don't play, Lawrence?
I was once an assistant manager to Kristen Hennage.
On Football Manager.
That would have been brilliant. Lawrence, what tactics are we playing this week? Kristen. Yeah. Going to play a back three.
I just sat next to him while we were in Ace Hotel, just kind of, you know, watching him. And it was really good. It was really interesting. But I still don't, like, Dave, you must have played that for hours.
Do you want to know how long I've played this
game?
Oh,
God,
it's absolutely disgusting. I could have done so much with my life.
Have you got the new, version, Dave?
So I'm still playing the old game. I've got 16. So 2015, right? I've played it for 345 hours of my life. That is ridiculous.
The thing about Football Manager, Lawrence, is I'll explain this. Once you start, you can't stop. So I used to be in your...
Mac.
Yeah, you get it on Mac. Can you get it on Mac, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to be the same as you. I was like, come on now, this is ridiculous.
I used to have
How can you spend so much time? How can you spend so much time on this game? But once you get sucked in, you start managing Spurs,
No, I'm just myself. Too happy in my relationship right now.
Yeah, mate, you don't, if you've got a girlfriend, won't. Mate, put it in the bin.
No, it will yeah. just, but then you start to play so much and you lose a lot of time, but you can't pull yourself away. And once you eventually do pull yourself away, you can't go back. It's cold turkey.
What's the draw? Like, what is the draw? Because
it's like any management game or simulation. You can mould the team in your image and you can lead them to glory in it. It was all you, Lawrence. It was your tactics. It was all you.
Do you learn? Do you think you learn things?
I definitely learn stuff on Football Manager.
Like, tactically?
Like
player-wise. Because everyone always says, you know, the player.
I mean, there's always those people that people go, he's good in Football Manager, but he's shit in real life. Nicholas Bentner, you know.
Freddie Adu.
yeah, exactly. So,
tactically on this game, I went through a transition. I actually went through a transition from the start of the game.
Became a winger.
Quite a transition.
Playing a 4-3-3, so then playing a 4-2-3-1, so then eventually playing a 4-4-2, a 4-2-4 hybrid, and then a 4-5-1 as well. I sort of went through the whole game of like changing formation in these 15 years that I played the game, and it was just incredible. And now, okay, so tactically, what's really interesting on Foot Manager?
Dave, have you always been with the same team?
Yeah, so I've been with Dynamo Dresden. From the Bundesliga third division to Bundesliga champions now. Still not won the European Cup, but that's the dream.
Disappointing, mate.
But what,
15
what,
I mean, years.
You should have built a dynasty by now, Dave.
Hold on, let me just finish my point, right? So sorry, in terms of starting the game,
too busy,
right?
Ridiculing.
I played a 4-2-3-1 because I like number 10s. And now, 15 years in, there's no number 10s in world football. So I've had to adjust my tactics and now I'll play.
What do you mean?
Run.
What do you mean there's no number 10s?
There's no number 10s. I promise you, there's no good number 10s on my game.
Okay.
They're either shit or they're like extinct. 95. It's just a weird thing how like tactics evolve in real life like that, where teams go through phases. For example, in Italy, that was the 4-4-2 narrow diamonds, the 3-5-2 to the 3-4-3 and so forth. It's just so, I find it really sort of interesting how the tactics evolve on the game like they do in real life.
I mean, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Lawrence, you're like, this guy is an absolute...
You're like, well, what is going on?
No,
do you not see the appeal, Lawrence, of playing the game?
I absolutely see the appeal.
I think you should give it a go before next.
I honestly, I don't have enough time.
That's the problem.
I don't have enough time to do it. I spend so many of my days editing and trying to, do other things.
But then you start making time for it when you shouldn't. You know, you're like, it's 1 a.m. I've just finished work. That's another hour or two.
Three o'clock in the morning. Might as well play another season.
Yeah, can't finish on a loss. You've got to carry on.
I'm interested. I think maybe Dave and I should play a game and like film it. And, you know, I want to know more about... I almost feel like Louis Theroux spending a weird weekend with Dave.
Yeah. I don't want to be involved. It's fine. It's fine.
Do you get to... What do you do? You don't get to, like, design the stadium and stuff. You literally just do the team.
You have to speak to the board about that, Lawrence. You've got to speak to the board about a lot of things. I've had a lot of problem with the board in Dresden.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. Transfer
language issues.
Yeah, a few language issues. But football is a universal language. That is the key to any press conference.
Dave, what would you say your philosophy is?
My philosophy of Football Manager. It's a pressing attacking game.
Yeah, you can tell when you actually do analysis.
The high press.
It's the high press. Yeah. I try and play Football Manager pressing. Like how I would want to.
It's my favourite kind of juice. Yeah.
But what about, like, what happens if we have a 3-player game? We all get the new game and we'll play the game for like 24
Switch
hours.
Switch in, mate.
We'll film it.
Switch stream. Yeah. What, I have 24 hours. I can try.
I used to like SimCity. I imagine it's similar just for football. It's like SimCity, but for football.
Yeah, Football is way better.
No, mate, you've not played SimCity. When you finally build the towers,
this is what I mean, Lauren. This is the towers. The towers are your two centre-backs.
I'm going to go to the App Store now and I'm going
to
download it.
You should. Let me talk to you a little bit about... we've been talking about Ronaldo the last few weeks.
Oh, yeah, have we? Yeah, yeah.
But I just wanted to briefly touch on... I sat down on the weekend, watched his movie. Yes. I thought, you know what? I've got about an hour and a half to kill it. I was like, let's watch this movie. Have you guys seen it?
No, I really want to see it. Can you give me that illegal stream that you somehow have?
No, it was completely legal. You can download it digitally now.
How much?
It was a couple of quid. Not too much. Like four or five quid. So, I mean, I thought, I'll go for it. Ronaldo needs the money. It's not like he hasn't got enough money as it is. So I thought, I'd give him a 5 quid. He'll appreciate that.
But the question here, Adam, is why weren't you playing Football Manager with an hour and a half?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Now I feel like that's what I should have spent. I think it would have been a better hour spent, Dave, because the documentary itself is not particularly insightful, I must say. I feel a little bit disappointed. It's hard to know whether they intended it. Basically, it comes across a bit of a vanity project. But this is from the people who made Senna and Amy, so I was expecting something a little bit more.
Dramatic in a way, maybe.
Yeah. But it's basically, it's trying to paint Ronaldo in a very good light. And what I'm thinking is, I wonder if the documentary maker's intention was to make this vanity project that makes Ronaldo look really good, or the impression I got was it actually makes Ronaldo look quite bad. And that was what they were. That's what they were trying to do. But you know, the only way they could do it, I think it makes Ronaldo look pretty. It doesn't make him look great, I don't think.
Okay.
So basically, it's very bizarre. It's sort of based on the last year, up until when he won the Ballon d'Or in January earlier this year. So it's sort of the whole of 2014, almost. It covers the World Cup and it covers, you know, winning La Decima and all that sort of stuff. So it's sort
of. How much do you see of that?
Of
him winning things.
Well, the interesting thing was the way the film paints it, the Ballon d'Or is far more important to him than the World Cup, which was in the same year, and even the Decima, which is sort of just breezed over in about 5 minutes. And it's all building towards, and it's all about the Ballon d'Or. And, you know, that's in the documentary himself. He says that's what it's about for him. You know, he says, when I saw Messi win it 2, 3, 4 times in a row, I thought, I'm not coming here anymore. What's the point? It seems to be for him that he values those individual awards over anything else.
Do you think that that's just a moment in his life sort of thing?
No. Seems like he's sort of saying over these past 4 years... especially when Messi's, you know, winning it 4 times in a row. That's what his focus, his goal, his whole drive has been towards. For him, it didn't seem... This is what I'm saying about the documentary painting him in a bad light. It looked like for him and Jorge Mendes, who's his agent, and he's sort of in a circle, it's all about that Ballon d'Or. There's some great quotes in there. I mean, he says when... the Portugal World Cup stuff is in there, but it's less about them being knocked out, and it's almost more about his... He sort of says, you know, I shouldn't play in the World Cup, I'm injured. I shouldn't play, but I can't say that publicly. He's like, you know, if there was 3 Cristiano Ronaldos in this team, maybe I'll, you know, sit out because I know we'd be fine, but we're not. You know, we haven't got 3 Cristiano Ronaldos, there's only one, and it's me, you know. So it's kind of, when it shows him getting knocked out, he says, you know, I was sad about getting knocked out. It juxtaposes him looking sad with clips of Messi making it all the way to the final, and it sort of weirdly paints Messi as this kind of villain in this villain role. And I feel like it feels like an ill-judged. But I think obviously he is pleased with the outcome of the documentary because of the amount of promotion and the amount of, you know, chat shows he's been on, interviews he's done. He must be pleased with the outcome and be happy with how it represents it. But I feel like it actually comes off...
I think you're assuming a lot there. I think say about it. I think the difference between Senna and Amy and this is that...
they weren't
Senna,
around to...
Well, I mean, Ronaldo's still alive. Most people say he looks dead inside, but Ronaldo's still alive. People don't say he looks dead inside. He's clearly a lovely guy on some level.
It's just interesting I feel like he is happy with the representation of himself, like I say, because he's putting so much promotion into it. When I don't think he comes across as well as maybe he thinks he does.
Do you think, though, the problem with Ronaldo is he's almost too well packaged? So there's almost a sense of disbelief about what you see. Do you know? So it feels it's a bit like a shit film, if that makes sense. So his whole product is a bit crap. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's good. But it's crap. Yeah. Like, do you get what I mean? Like, it's almost under-constructed. It's almost a little bit lazy. It's like, oh, of course. It's a bit like Louis Vuitton now. It's a bit like, well, this is good.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a weird reason which we can't quite put our finger on. But we'll all buy into it anyway.
It's just a strange film. It makes him look quite lonely almost. But at the same time, you know, he's got his inner circle, he's got his mum and his brothers and his friends, but they all, it's all about, the film seems to be all about making Ronaldo look good in a way. His son sort of the star of the show, you know.
The question is coming out of these hilarious lines. That's very lazy. I mean, I've not seen it, but as soon as you start to include a kid in it, you're going a bit for the aww factor.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's an interesting film, but it's just not perhaps as insightful as I would have wanted it to be.
Maybe it would have helped if we'd all had a movie.
We should have had a little screening, together. Yeah. But it's interesting.
We should just film ourselves watching all these things.
The front three react to Ronaldo's film.
React to, yeah. We'll call it Rogglebox.
Ronnie Box.
Right, okay, I get it. Yeah, I'd recommend you guys watching it. If you're out there listening, I'd recommend you watching it. But it's, I got quite a negative impression of Ronaldo. I put that on Twitter. I got a few, people disagreeing with me saying, what's wrong with going for individual honours? It does, you
Ronaldo's
know.
Ronaldo's agent.
No, but it obviously.
What's wrong with going in? Jorge, what's wrong with going in individual?
Yeah, what's wrong with it? But like, you see how excited they are at winning that, the Ballon d'Or. And it's like, it's almost like ridiculous. I feel like. Did we have Frank Lampard was on Monday Night Football a few weeks ago, wasn't he? And he sort of ridiculed the suggestion that a Ballon d'Or, an individual trophy, he was like, that's nothing compared to the Champions League. You know, the ultimate goal is the Champions League. That's what you want to win in your career. The Ballon d'Or is just, you know, okay, it's a nice cap to the year. It's like, you know, a meaningless sort of trinket almost. Whereas the Champions League is the one that's going to define you in history. And the film makes it look like Ronaldo doesn't quite see it that way. He doesn't see the Champions League, World Cups, which obviously is very difficult for him to win, or even league titles as something that defines his career. Yeah, but I think he maybe, you know, he's almost like he realizes for whatever reason he can't win these league titles and he can't win these Champions Leagues while he's at the team he's at, or maybe while he's up against Messi and Barcelona, who had one of the greatest teams in of a generation when he joined Real Madrid. So maybe that's why he's focused on these Ballon d'Ors. But it's strange that he is so obsessed with them as opposed to perhaps the ultimate glory in the team game, which is titles, league titles and obviously Champions League titles. But it's an interesting documentary. Go and check it out. So sad, poor Ronaldo with his millions of pounds and his Ballon d'Ors.
But money. Yeah, I think the guys on the Ramble put it best. It was like, you know, money's not going to actually make it better. Yeah,
he's sitting.
You know, go and wipe yourself with money. It isn't really
the other bizarre thing was how obviously if he is divorced from reality, it's easy to see why, because everyone is so, especially Jorge Mendes, his agent. It's bizarre. Seeing this guy, so after El Clasico, they win El Clasico. This must have been last year sometime, and they have a nice dinner afterwards, all celebrating him and his family in inner circle. And obviously, Jorge Mendes is there, and they're sort of going around, and Mendes is sort of paying tribute to every member of the family. When he comes to Ronaldo, he's like, you know, it's an honour to work with you. Not only are you the greatest footballer in the world, but you're the greatest footballer of all time ever in the history of football. But you're the greatest. God. You're the greatest. You're the greatest sportsman. He goes, you're the greatest sportsman in the history of sport, and I'll work every day to make sure I live up to your incredible image. I can't do it, but I try my best, you know. And it's like, of course you'd be divorced from reality and maybe not see things as everyone else does when people are saying that to you every day. I'm sure it's not just Jorge Mendes. I'm sure, you know, they show all the fans screaming after him every single day, you know, girls screaming, running onto the pitch, trying to get just a selfie with him, all this sort of stuff. Quite a funny moment when, you know, in Portugal, the World Cup, there's a big media circus around him and fans just desperately trying to get hold of him and get any sort of picture or words with Ronaldo. And you hear some of the Portuguese squad sort of saying, no one wants to talk to me, do they? Why does no one want to interview me with this sort of stuff? I think people are wise to it, but interesting nonetheless. Anyway, enough from Ronaldo. I've talked about that for ages. Let's talk about. Do you want to talk about? There's a talking point this week, Dave, that you've got lined up here. Am I right? We've sort of talked about Football Manager a little bit.
We have, yeah. We did talk about. We touched on the subject.
Mm.
So it's more of a question for you two. Mm. If you were a football manager, what would your style be? I reckon let's go with Lawrence first. It's going to be an interesting style.
Can I ask, can we do it like this?
Yeah.
What style do you think I'd be?
Swashbuckling football. Beautiful football.
I think you'd be
not a secession Oh, really?
Yeah, what? I think you'd be cautious and a little bit pragmatic.
Interesting. Is it what style I think I'd actually be, or what I'd like ultimately aspire
to be? So yeah, it's what your vision is. What's your philosophy? What's your footballing philosophy, Lawrence?
Good question, Dave. I would say I want a philosophy. That's the problem, isn't it? I like to cover all my bases before the game. I would always feel like I wanted to know a lot about how we were going to play and, you know, how we could counteract what the opposition were going to do.
That's why I think you'd be pragmatic.
So you wouldn't.
At the same time, I worry that I'd be more on the Benitez side of things than the sort of Klopp side of things. But I know I'm not as mechanical as Benitez, so I manage like Klopp, but you know, yeah, whatever. I just manage like Klopp. Fuck it, easy, mate. Whatever. but you know, I imagine that I would. What I want is a team who can just go through anyone. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I want someone who can just sort of, almost like Allegri, if he actually had longevity. Do you know what I mean? Because I like the way I like Juventus.
Yeah, tactically astute.
Quite powerful.
Astute.
You know what I mean? Yeah, they're very astute, but at the same time quite powerful. You know?
Yeah.
I want a team that is powerful, but not through physical power.
Mental power.
I think everyone loves what Jurgen says when he came to Liverpool. I was always quite questioning what Roger said, but always tried to give him a chance. I think that would be my problem, is I'd be a little bit too attached to the players, and at the same time maybe I'd detach it. I'd be like, yeah, we're all socialist lads, and they'd be like, yeah, we're not, and I'd be like, great, and then I don't know what I'd do from there. That's the problem. I think a bit too much maybe to manage certain people.
You need to get on Football Manager now. You need to test out these.
I've just downloaded Steam, Adam.
Wow, he's on it. He's bloody well on it.
I have no idea what I'm doing, but it's working.
You will. I'm looking forward to seeing your little avatar, Lawrence McKenna, knocked up in the new game. You can make your little manager face and body and stuff. Pretty cool. Pretty good way to spend your life.
Well, I'm going to make my own philosophy, but my philosophy is definitely going to be one where I appear in pubs with the fans.
With the lads.
Yeah, not with the lads. Yeah. I'd always have time. I'd be the Jeremy Corbyn of football.
A bit like Daryl Clark. Daryl Clark's the Bristol Rovers manager. Apparently, when they got promoted to the Football League from the Conference, he went down the pub for a few beers with the fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember, Dave,
it's not how you make, it's not what you do, it's how you make people feel.
Exactly. And Adam, how would your lads play? How would your lads...
Wait a minute. We've got to say how we think Adam's...
Okay, let's go. Lawrence?
Dave, you go first. I think you're quite astute at this.
You see, I think Adam's lads, right? They get men behind the ball and they break really quickly. They'd have a target man. So they play it very quickly out the back to a target man, and then they counter-attack with pace.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is Adam would want someone a little bit who's a little bit like himself out on the pitch.
Which is a big
powerful man out on the pitch.
Mm.
I think you want someone. I think, you know, you'd basically, because I think you see yourself as a bit of a. I think your first purchase, or your first attempt at a purchase, would be Robert Lewandowski.
God, the big man.
Yeah. See? Instantly.
I do like a striker. I do like a striker who's the complete forward, as they say in Football Manager. He can do it all. You know, like you say, Robert Lewandowski is good in the air. He's good on the deck. He can do everything. I think you've got me there. I think, like Dave's saying, sit back, break quickly, give the ball away to the fast, talented people. You've got the big man up top. You've got that option if you need to go there. I'm set. I've got my Football Manager tactics already.
Yeah. I definitely want a team who were able to play tactically, adaptably, and were sort of open to things. Do you know what I mean?
I've got a great question to finish off the podcast.
So wait, what's Dave doing?
Oh, Dave, yes. Yeah. Well, I thought we were talking about your philosophy earlier, but please go on.
Kind of.
All right, well, what is my philosophy then, lads?
You always speak about high pressing.
It's the high pressing. Win the ball high up the pitch. Attack from there.
Yeah. I don't know what you'd be like with the players. That's what I want to know.
I think it'd be very efficient. Would you be one of Guardiola aiming for absolute, or Brendan Rodgers aiming for absolute possession?
No.
Domination of the opponent.
On the line, I'd go down for the confidence. They're trying to make it fun. They're trying to make that football is a game. But then, I think it's sort of building on the both that there's a line. If you stay within the line, I'll treat you very well. Like if you're performing well, you're doing well, it's fine. But if you step over that mark, you are going to get bollocked. And that's what is going to happen. You're going to get ripped to absolute shreds. So that's what I think it is.
That's your Tinder profile, isn't it, Dave?
That's
what it says on there.
I love good preparation. I think I love preparing for things.
Yeah. Sounds like your Tinder profile.
Yeah. I love preparation.
I love preparing for things.
I love preparing. What would your Tinder profile be, Adam? Dave's Tinder profile is what? High pressing.
I like to win high up the pitch.
I like to win balls. Yeah. High pressing.
I like a big man. That would be my Tinder profile. Anyway, listen, I wanted to ask one question before we finish up this the first installment of this week's podcast. So last few weeks, we've actually been organising a few little five-a-side games. There's us three, of course. We've been taking part. There's a few guys from various football channels, Chelsea Fan Channel, Spurred On, Coming Down, Football Daily, all these lads. So we've been playing for about 4 or 5 weeks now. We're on the regular, isn't it? Once a week, at least, five-a-side.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to know was sort of similar, theme to how you did it there. How would we describe each other in terms of what players were like?
I've had a difficult few weeks, lads. I'm only getting back into it. I want to caveat it with that. I've not enjoyed myself. Really not enjoyed some of those games. I've been trying to find my fitness, I've been disappointed with how I perform. Normally, I'm like, right, I want a hat trick a game almost.
Wow, a hat trick a game.
That is big.
I like that. So, what is your position, Lawrence? Your preferred position? A five a side.
Preferred position would be game. central drifting. So I like to break on people. So I like to pick the ball up, pass, then get it back. The problem, our problem has been we've got too many people, their heads go down, and so there's not enough passing. Mm. And I love a good passing move. That's why I love playing with Rory from Chelsea Fans Channel.
Oh yeah,
he's pretty good. He's pretty
but at the same time,
good.
my feet aren't good enough to execute what I want to do right now. So right. I have to get back up to that level of fitness.
Dave, how would you describe Lawrence if you could compare him to a player?
A Premier League player.
I'm trying to think now. Yeah, that's actually a very tough question. Or any question, any player in history, maybe.
A little bit too petulant right now.
Petulant.
Yeah.
Drift
in and out of game. Like I at times I'm completely in it, and it's like right, I've got everything. I can run back, I can run forward, but what I want is a full 60 minutes of that.
So would you say you were at Mesut Ozil when he just joined Arsenal?
At the moment, but I don't want to be like Mesut.
Well,
what I want is a better read of the game. My ultimate aim.
I'm struggling to think of players right now.
I mean, Dave, it's hard to find someone who's in my league, basically.
Yes, the issue, isn't it, mate?
The reason Dave's struggling is because he's trying to find someone that's not insulting to me. So at the moment, he's sort of going, Phil Jones, the promoted team, Nathan Redmond.
Jess Lingard, what do you reckon?
I think the problem for me is, guys, I don't think I have the build of a football player. And I have a best friend from home who is built like a football player. And I grew up, my entire childhood was basically spent being, not envious, but almost always looking at him and sort of being like, God, I wish I was.
Okay, that could work. We could try and find a player in that ilk then.
What, someone who looks at other players and goes, God, I wish I was as good as you? At the moment, I give me a few weeks and I'll be back to my best. I want to be, who do I want to be?
Who do you want to be?
Who do I want to be? I want to be a number. I want to be in a number, a sort of a number 10. Right? I want to be a maybe, but I'd be Coutinho. Happy to drop back. What I love to do is sit in front of the back line, break up, and then distribute to people, and be one of the people who then catches up with the attack and has a strike the goal.
The Makaleli role.
You want to be Chubby Alonso, let's be honest. Yeah.
Essentially, I want to be a deep line. I love Mascherano, but he's not. We don't have the same figure or height, so it's difficult. I think he's a fantastic player. I love his reading in the game. I love where he goes. I love where he is on the pitch. I love how reckless he was with his shots. Love.
How would you describe? How would you describe Dave, Lawrence?
No, goodbye. How would I describe Dave? Dave's really good at reading the game. When he talks really well and sort of gives good advice. And then there's a few times where he's looked really on his own up front, and I've sort of felt a bit sorry for him because he's always looking for a partner, but he never quite gets that partner.
My sort of love life at the moment, isn't it?
It's the Tinder profile. Hey, so I don't know who he looks a little bit isolated at the moment up top. Dave's strengths come from empowering those around him.
Wow,
it's the motivator.
But it requires those around him to be, you know, good,
ready to be motivated.
So Dave, who do you want to be?
My ultimate aim would be to be Gattuso.
Interesting.
Gattuso.
A real bully in the centre of the park.
Your hair makes you look a bit like Gattuso. You're somewhere between Juan Mata and Gattuso. If you know what I mean.
Some decent moments between the sticks, though. I think that's been my best performance has been in goal.
Probably. I think Dave has made some really good Dave saves, you know?
Dave saves.
And then Adam... I mean, I have been on the receiving end of filth. Some absolute filth.
I'm a graceful player. I don't know what are you talking about.
My foot is still black and blue. From
no, it's not. No, it's not. He's lying, lads. He's lying.
I've been on the end of a Boltwood stamp as well. He's brutal. He's a brutal lad.
He's a brute. He's a bit. But the problem is, he's also. It's so satisfying to play against you because I love the challenge. I love the challenge of Adam. Do you know what I mean? I imagine you're one of those essentially, you're not a centre-back because you play more attacking than a centre-back.
Oh,
in five-side, you almost become you're like a centre-back that plays all over the pitch, if that makes sense.
I am a centre-back, and then in five-side, I get a bit excited and I start charging about.
Through the cage, didn't you, mate?
What self-indulgent half-hour we've just had.
But what I'm trying to say is, yes, I'm a centre-back, but I'm actually now... just about too slow to maybe reach the balls that I would have before, so I tend to foul a lot of people or stamp on them or I just catch them like that half second too late. I'm just getting a little bit too slow to sort of keep up, so I'm a sort of a Ledley King almost, you know. And I got dodgy knees. I got dodgy
what
knees
makes
as well.
The perfect five-a-side player, though, I think, is someone who plays quite often.
Yeah.
Because it sort of improves the reading of the game and the skills that you need. I think you have to be a little bit below average height.
You're saying I'm too tall.
You're almost too tall for the cage, Adam.
I'm too tall. That's true.
And I think you have to be a bit of a lad. Sometimes. Just to be a good five-a-side. But, you know, don't let me box you in.
There you go. I like it. I'm Ledley King, mate. I'm happy with that. I'll stick with that.
I think you're Ron Harris, mate. You're the chopper. Chelsea legend. You're not getting away from that.
I'm like Ledley King. If Ledley King was still playing
Ledley's
now.
Ledley's timing was perfection.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Anything but...
I'm Ledley if he was still playing now. He was like lunging into challenges after base.
Across Ledley King.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that was... interesting little look into there, how we are at five-a-side, i.e. not amazing. But anyway, listen.
But keep listening to our football shit. We know we can't play,
we're decent.
But we'll talk about
we're
it.
We're decent. We're going to have to film one of these games. As soon as we're playing every week, we're going to have to film one of these games so the good people can see how brutal my tackles are. But anyway, listen, that wraps up episode 33 of the Front Three. Stay tuned this week because there'll also be a Q&A podcast coming out on Saturday. But until then, Dave, thanks for coming on board as always. Lawrence, lovely to have you.
Good to have you.
Thanks to everyone.
I'm installing Football Manager right now.
Beautiful.
It's going on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.